afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Hashtag No Limits. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is not a better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells, and just when it thinks life is over, it reforms into the butterfly. But that's not it. It's not finished struggling. It still has to struggle in order for its wings to be strong enough to take it everywhere it's going to go once it gets out of the cocoon. That's not easy. I can't imagine that it's easy, but neither is busting through limits that society places upon us. And today, I'm going to bring someone who is building items to help people bust through limits that they have had placed upon them. And I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Shelley Keto. I'm sure most of you already knew that, but I just thought I better go ahead and throw that in there as well. So be sure, if you are watching today, to give us a hashtag and where you are watching from. And if you have any questions or comments, please be sure to place them in the chat. This is a recorded episode, so I will not be able to respond instantly to your comments or questions, but I will as I have opportunity later on, and also for Aishin to get the information if there's anything for her and have her answer you as well. And definitely one more thing before I bring her on, be sure to like, subscribe, and press share so that nobody misses these amazing guests that I have on. This show is not really about me. It's my show, but it's about the truly amazing and inspirational people that are my guests. And with that being said, I'm going to bring Aishin on. Hello, am I saying it correctly, Aishin?
Yes, you're saying it perfectly.
Perfectly. Thank you. Welcome, and thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Shelley. Thank you for creating this. Thank you for holding space for people to share their messages, to share their gifts. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited. I was telling Aishin before the show started that I was looking at her products and I'm probably going to be ordering some of them for myself, for my family members. But before we share the products, I want to learn more about you. So tell us about yourself.
Well, my name is Aishin and I'm an educator. I have always been an educator in my heart. I was 10 years old. My younger sister was born. And since she was born, I loved watching her and seeing the development of a human being from being a baby to like growing over the years. It just fascinated me. I loved taking care of her. I loved teaching her. So from that moment, I knew that I wanted to become a teacher. I didn't know how or what form, but yes, I studied early childhood education in Turkey as my bachelor's, and I moved to America to study, get my grad degree in early childhood education again. I studied master's degree. The reason I wanted to move to America to study early childhood education because I wanted to learn English. I wanted to make sure that I could read enough research and enough like information that is not only in Turkish but also in English, so I could cover more and bring more to Turkey. That was the idea. I did learn English. I did graduate from the grad school. However, I ended up staying in America and opening two businesses and becoming an entrepreneur. I mean, I always work with children, around children. Yes, that's what I am doing now, and I'm doing it happily. It's my career. It's what I make my living, and I still get to do anything my heart desires to create about children. I get to do it.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. And I know that Texas is extremely blessed to have you. And I bet there, you know, any of my Texas audience members are like, yes, we kept her here because we're so awesome here in Texas. But also as United States, thank you so much for bringing your skills and your love and desire to help children to the United States. And so you said you're 10 years apart from your sister. And at that same, right around that same time when she was born, you realized you wanted to be a teacher. And I don't have any younger siblings, but it was around 9 or 10 years old, that I knew I wanted to be a teacher. So we have that in common as well. Now, you focus on the early childhood range, and my focus that I thought at that time was like kindergarten through fourth grade. And then I switched completely and went into special education, and I'm so passionate about that now. So
I love that.
It's really interesting, you know, how that happens. So, I have a niece that when she was 13, she was told she was going to have her first sibling. And so she's also very excited and has been so instrumental in his development and growth, as I imagine that you were with your sister as well, because it was just so exciting. It's so beautiful to watch my niece with my nephew, because it's just the love that they have for each other is incredible. And I would guess that that's the same that you share with your sister.
Absolutely. I mean, culturally also, I was already the second child, and there is a third one, and my sister is the fourth one. So it's my parents basically were checked off at the time. So I had all the, flexibility and opportunity to really take care of her. I loved taking her with me to my friends' meetings. I was still young. I loved feeding her. I loved watching how she first made her first full sentence. I still remember today. I loved how she started developing her her fine motor skills. She really became. I mean, I have other two siblings that I love. She really became like a. Like, I guess I never experienced becoming a mom yet, but she did become something closer to that, something very close to the feeling like she's my daughter.
Yeah.
Yes. But I see so many kids individually. I work with them in person. And I also feel like they're my siblings or they're my kids in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you had the opportunity to firsthand experience early learning and using play to learn with your sister.
Yes.
And so why is having that early learning and that play and making learning fun?
Well, like you said, originally, I had the opportunity to see that from the first hand, and it was my instincts were telling me that, wow, they really learn through play. They really do like life in just different way. They rehearse, my sister rehearsed life in different ways. It looked like play. And as I studied so many different philosophers, and as I studied the different stages of early childhood education, I learned that that's the kid. In order for kids to learn, the topics that we're trying to teach them, they really need to be involved in a physical way, or in the way that they're interested, in the way that they're having fun, because the concept of okay, let's sit down and learn this together is really not built for a child. A child is supposed to move. A child is supposed to be energetic, or is supposed to be playing. That's what they do. Like, they play and they rehearse.
Right.
Life. They pretend like they're on the phone with their mom, but they're actually rehearsing life, how to talk on the phone, how to have a conversation. This is just an example. They do pretend like playing a doctor, but they, in their mind, that is their real doctors, and that's happening in their future life already. They're taking care of someone. They are showing what they have observed so far, like a doctor should be doing or a caring person should be doing. So I always believe big, like because of the Montessori, Reggio Emilia, I am a big follower with both of them. Because of them, I also, with my experiences, I always believed in, I'm always big in like play should be the base. My first company, IntelliKids, started because of that, because I started teaching children at 3 years old through play. So I basically designed games and creative ways that is based on their learning style, on individual child's learning style, on their interests. And I made a lesson plan based on that child's needs, or how can I prepare this child for school? How can I prepare this child emotionally strong for life? So I created games individually that is based on the personal preferences or interests, based on the how they like learning, like if they like learning through music, if they like learning through body movement, or if they like learning through touching and interacting and playing. However they want it, I was able to adjust myself, my teaching skills, around their personality, making them center. And I became very successful at doing that. That's what I've been doing for last 12 years.
Wonderful. I'm going to stop you for just a second and ask if it's okay if I bring up your IntelliKids website now.
Absolutely, yes. Please okay. Go ahead.
Oops, can't hit the right button. That would help. There we go. So on the IntelliKids website, so I also want to, whoops, that's not the right one I wanted to share. Nope, that's not it either. Goodness, I'm pressing all the wrong buttons. Okay, so IntelliKids is, in order to get to this website, it's just www.intellakids, IntellaKids.com. And what can they find when they come here? Aishan, did I lose you? Oh, that's not good. Well, while we're waiting for her to come back to me, I'm not sure what's going on, but she is an individual tutor through her IntelliKids, and she does make these, as she mentioned, individual lesson plans for the children that meets them exactly where they are. She designs personalized programs that fit their individual learning styles. And so let's see if we can get her back here. Oh, there she is.
Sorry, I lost you.
Okay, not a problem. All right, are you back now? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. Let me, let's see. I stopped sharing my screen because I thought maybe that had been the problem. So I'm going to try to share it again and see what we get. Okay. All right. Do I still have you now? No. Okay. That's really bizarre. Every time I share her screen, I lose her. Every time I share her web. Oh, there. Are you there?
I'm here. Yes, I can hear you. Oh.
Okay. Could you see your website when I pulled it up?
I can see it, but then I lose your voice. I don't hear
you. Oh, that's okay. That's really strange. That's not happened before. All right. Well, so the website is IntelliKids. And again, I'll tell the audience it's IntelliKids.com. So yes. Let's just tell the audience what they'll find when they go there. I don't understand okay. Why I'm losing volume when that happens, but
yes, of
we'll just
course.
Let
thank
you tell them.
Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, IntelliKids is designed by me that teaching very young children in their own pace, at their own home, in private, teaching them academic and emotional skills through play. It started with me. I started having customers going to their homes and playing with the child at the age of, starting at the age of 2.5. And I basically prepare them for kindergarten or elementary school or life. In the bigger picture, it's really how to change their mindset about learning, or how to set that positive mindset for them to be successful in every area of the life. Where as they grow up, they have the like right tools installed in their brain. It's very important for me to have that like 2 to 6 years old time period where their brain is developing the most. So that's what I am doing. But then I started hiring other part-time teachers, teaching them the methods that I'm using, and having other teachers working with me. So it's, unfortunately, we are only in Houston. We still haven't covered Houston, I would say 50%. It's such a big city. So, and it, because of the age group that I'm working with, that online, like online coaching doesn't really work. But if there's someone listening to us in Houston, and if they think they can use help, this extra support, or a friend who comes and play with their child, but also this friend happens to be a professional who can also mentor the parent at the same time, they can connect with me, and I will be happy to try to fit them in my schedule. That's exactly the reason the Tomei's Toys was born. Because I couldn't be everywhere at the same time, and I already was doing toys and games that I've created at home with the materials that I had, like leftover materials. For so many years, I made toys with the leftover things that I had at home, just any like any teacher. But right. A couple of years ago, I did. I wanted to have the toy line where even when I'm not in the room, even when I cannot be like outside of Houston for now, the kids that I don't know can still benefit from having a toy that is also working like a teacher, I say. So having a toy, having fun, but learning from it. So
yeah,
I created 3 toys by now just for that reason. If I cannot be physically in the room, my toys can, and they can be a nice guide for the parents to know what to do with their kids. And the toy by itself works as a teacher.
That is absolutely incredible. And I was scrolling through the website. Since you were talking and you were talking about it, I pulled up the Tomei's Toys website as well, and just kind of was showing everyone around. And the Tomei's Toys is, again, www. It's just, if you spell it, Tomei's Toys. So TOMAZETOYS.com. And you will find it. And actually, I can't because I'm recording it. I was going to put it in the chat, but it won't show up. So I was going to put the direct link in there, but it's easy to get. It's Tomei's Toys, or Tomei's Toys is how you say it, but Tomei's Toys is how
it actually
spell
came
it.
From Tomei's. I came up with Tomei's, and I wanted to put the word maze in there because I believe in mazes. So like I'm a big believer that really develops children's brain and creates new neurons in there. And as I put Tomei's together, like just like you said, when I put the toys next to it, I said Tomei's Toys. It's just like tomatoes. So I thought it was very cute. So that's where the story is. You cracked it. That's where the story starts. Tomei's and then Tomei's Toys.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I hope the audience was able to see it. I'm going to see if I can't pull it back up. I know you might not be able to speak
I
or
see
hear
it.
What I'm... Okay, can you hear what I'm saying, though?
I can, yes.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. Okay. I don't know what I did different this time, but I'm glad that you can hear me and we can talk about this. So I do want to go to what you have. So you have the letter elephants, which
yes.
Those are probably the items. Well, I don't know. I'm looking at both things and thinking I may get both for that nephew that I just mentioned earlier. But these letter elephants are just adorable. And what material are they made out of?
They're all wooden. All my toys are made of out of wood. Mm-hmm. The elephants, really, they're open-ended toys. But for me, it's very important to have a sustainable toy that has letters on it. Mm-hmm. And the other side of them, it has the lowercase letters on them. So they're all wood, but they teach all the uppercase and lowercase letters. Also, they work for patterns, teaching patterns really well because of the colors. So as the child learns and masters their alphabet, ABCs, then they can start learning the sounds, and then they can start putting the two sounds together, learning the phonics. And then they can start making three-letter words, simple words. So it's a very open-ended, a great literacy tool, but also works as a block and as a great tool to develop fine motor skills for young children to be as creative as they want to be while being exposed to the letters.
Yeah, this is awesome. As a special education teacher, I am definitely, as you mentioned, seeing so many opportunities to use these. I mean, like you said, you can, the individual letters themselves, uppercase and lowercase, they can do consonant, vowel, consonant words, or depending on the word that they choose, if they don't have a repetitive letter, they can make four or five letter words.
And exactly, they do, yes.
Yeah. And I love that the tail and the trunk go together so that, you know, they're sort of interlocking a little bit. And again, that's that fine motor piece, the hand-eye coordination, the being able to manipulate the blocks individually or as a group. One of the things that you didn't mention, but it is mentioned on your website, is the early math skills. So besides the patterning, which is a math skill, you made it very clear, you know, you can teach them to count one-to-one correspondence, which for a lot of children is a difficult concept to get, being able to understand that this object represents one and these two objects, when I put them together, they represent two.
Yes, and so, absolutely. This is actually perfect manipulative to teaching numbers, like counting numbers from 1 to 26. Mm-hmm. Also, like you said, teaching one-to-one correspondence, which is a difficult concept for children to understand. And it's great tool to teach the colors or sort the colors. As I play with my own students with these toys that I created, at the end, to me, cleaning time is also important. It's a teaching time. So I ask my student, based on their knowledge or skill set, I ask, can you put these based on the colors back into the bag? It comes with a sweet, little cute linen bag. Mm-hmm. And or I say, can you count them by fives? Or can you count them as you clean them up, by ones? So it's a lot of teaching opportunity as we clean up. So to me, it's like two birds killed at one stone.
And that's fantastic and such a great suggestion, because oftentimes I don't think parents realize how much learning can happen through play.
Yes.
And like you said, even when you're cleaning up, if you can make it more fun, like it is a game, it's also teaching that responsibility, but you've done it in a fun way where the child doesn't feel like it's some sort of a punishment, let's pick up all the purple ones. All right, now we've picked up all the purple ones. Let's pick up all the blue ones, let's race and let's see who can pick them up faster, mommy or the child, and having that sort of fun involved. And like you said, just cleanup is a part of playing. So you are 100% teaching that responsibility and developing a habit in a child when you're doing those kinds of things. So the letters are amazing. I think the three products that you have are just incredible. So let's talk about this one. The tiles, the Tomei's tiles. So again, I can see sorting opportunities, counting opportunities, fine motor activities and opportunities. What are the different, I see there's kind of like cards, I guess, for lack of a better term. So how do they fit? How do they go into the maze here?
Okay. Before I explain about Tomei's tiles, I want to point out something very important. You said that parents don't know what to do and how to use these opportunities. And to me, that's a big point of my toys, big like part of my toys, that I love to create toys that is also being a guidance.
Uh-oh. I lost you. Are you there? Okay. Welcome back, everybody. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty. Aishin, go ahead. You were going to talk about these tiles, but before we did that, you wanted to mention something regarding parents.
Yes, thank you. Yes. When you said that a lot of parents don't know how to use these teaching moments to their children, I wanted to really point that part out, because that's a big part of why I make toys. It's not only for children to learn through play, but also for parents to have these tools as guidance. So, and me as guidance. Yes, that's true. A lot of parents don't know because they didn't study education or they've never been around other children. So it's their first experience with a child most of the time. And I don't blame them for not knowing what to do and how to use this opportunities as a learning moment. And the toys are guides for parents, so they can sit down with their children and have quality, purposeful time while they're teaching something to their kids. So that's the aspect I love about my toys a lot. And I always put a little card in each toy boxes to guide parents about like how they can make better this experience with playing with this certain toy. So
that's awesome.
I wanted to say that because a lot of parents feel bad about not knowing what to do. And to me, that part is big about making toys, to not only creating educational toys, but also creating guides or tools for parents to like, okay, when they see the tile toy, they can figure out what they can play with their kids instead of just making, coming up with their own ways to teach their kids. They can look at the tile toy and it comes with these cards. It has 10 cards and on both sides it has either letters or a picture. So if they want to teach their kids the letters, but their kids are not ready to hold the pencil yet, they can, with the tile toy, they can use the board with grids. The grids are especially made for young minds. The board with the grids and design the letter A. So the parent doesn't really need to think too much, but they can be the guidance or be the supervisor for the child to learn with this toy. Or they have this pictures that is incredibly valuable for a child to be able to transfer a picture into another platform in the same way. That teaches so many skills like spatial awareness, symmetry, patterns,
counting colors. I cannot count how many skills a child's brain is grasping as they're trying to build one picture into the board. And the board has the grids, so it's not like a regular tangram where pieces are moving around and it's hard for young children to like keep them in the places. But the grids are keeping the pieces in the place. So it's such a great accomplishment for the child to see, wow, they have designed something from the scratch by just looking at that picture. And the grids are incredible indirect guides in there.
Yeah, and I love this picture because they can put, now I say this, do they put the card and they're then like in that grid somehow and then they're just matching the pieces on top of it? Or is it like this picture where they're looking at it and then just designing the picture in the grid without having that placed underneath the tiles?
Yes, it's like the picture that they decide their starting points. And that's another beautiful indirect teaching moment. If they start their point too left, too right, or too below, that means that the shape is not going to fit. So they need to redo it. And they're indirectly learning that they need to consider the next steps before they start from their first step. And that's a great... I've seen so many kids starting from a little too left, a little too right, and then ending up not having enough space and having to learn that lesson and going back and fixing it. What a beautiful learning opportunity for us too, for adults too. We usually do something when we don't know how to do it yet. We mess up or we don't really calculate enough time or enough space. And it ends up not fitting it or not working out in life. And then we have to redo it. And next time we need to like consider those next steps as well. I think that's a great teaching opportunity right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And something else that I'm thinking is for those who, this is kind of an advanced skill. And for certain brains to be able to do all that you just mentioned. And so what I'm thinking for those who may not be that advanced when they first get this is that they could just set the card down and actually not in the grid, but just, you know, on the table and then just put the pieces on top of it. So they're getting the concept of the matching.
Absolutely. And, yes, absolutely. Yeah. They can do that. Or again, if they have a caregiver next to them, they can tell them, let's start from this. Like, let's start from the center a little higher. So, yes, absolutely. They can either do it on the cards or a caregiver can guide them a little bit at the beginning. And yeah, usually 4 or 5 years old are figuring that easily, like because of the experience that I have. But for a 3-year-old, it's those pictures are pretty advanced. What usually happens is a 3-year-old is learning how to, like learning the name of the shapes or learning the name of the colors or counting. The tile toy is an amazing toy for teaching math skills. Like talk about one-to-one correspondence, patterns, shapes, counting. It's also again, fine motor skills, gripping the pieces and trying to put it there. And my 3 years old are usually trying to do their own thing, which I love. They get very creative on the board and they love putting pieces. Like, for example, they put two triangle pieces in the same square. Then they realize at the age of 3 that 2 triangle makes a square or 2 rectangle makes a square. That fractions, they're learning the fractions there without even realizing. They just love being able to do different things, their own things on the board.
Yeah. That is so incredible. And then you have, I mean, there's, like you said, I think we could talk longer even about all the potential. And there's maybe even things that we haven't come up with today that, you know, maybe some parent comes up with and says, oh, this taught my child. I mean, I think this is going to teach patience, you know.
Yes. We didn't talk about the attention span, but the tile toy can keep a boy, a four-year-old boy, occupied for 45 minutes to 1 hour without any distraction. I cannot believe that.
Wow. That is huge.
Yes, that is big. I've seen it so many times. And I get messages from moms that my boy has never sat and worked or focused on something this long before. It makes my heart melt.
Yeah, I bet. That's incredible. And yes. So you have this wonderful toy. You have the alphabet, which is amazing. And really, I mean, for early childhood learning, that's the majority of it right there, you know, is the alphabet, exactly. The colors, the patterning, the numbers, the, you know, the one-to-one correspondence, all those things, the learning how to take turns, the learning how to play, have fun, you know, concentrate, all the fine motor things that we talked about. And then you have developed this, which as a former teacher who taught time telling to students, this would have been so helpful for several of my students over the years. I'm flabbergasted. I mean, I just think this is so intuitive, but so incredibly helpful. And just being, like you talked about before, the fractions, you know, having this big half of the clock covered up and then showing, oh, half of that clock is 30 minutes. Yes. And then, you know, even being, I'm guessing you can move that to show, like, if it went from 3 to 9, it's 30 minutes, or 1 to 7 is 30 minutes.
Yes.
You know, that you can kind of, talk a little bit. Sorry, I got carried away with the clock myself, but I'll let you talk about it.
I have to say the clock toy, surprisingly, has been my bestseller. It was not my intention. The clock toy was really for me to be able to teach my students the concept of time. Like you said, I made the clock toy with the cardboards before, because it's such a abstract concept, and it's very hard to teach young children. And I like, when especially when they are curious about, I like to be able to create ways to teach them. I had these several 5 years old that they wanted to learn the time, and when I tried to explain, I didn't blame them. They couldn't get it. So I wanted to create something that is solid, like the clock toy, that is tactile. They can move the things around, and that will teach the counting, the fractions, the time itself. And I love the fact that it shows 60 minutes as the whole block. Mm-hmm. As the whole circle, and then it's 30 minutes that, like you said, it is very clear this is half an hour, because this is the whole hour. My 3 years old are learning how to tell clock with this toy. It is making that easy. It takes me only one or two explanation of when we have one, when we have the shorthand on the one, and when we have the long hand on 12, that's 1 o'clock. So I say when I move to shorthand to 2, it's 2 o'clock, and then the rest, they're doing it. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, they keep going. And once they master that, I teach them the same thing with the half an hour concept, that the long hand goes on to the 6 o'clock, and they love moving the pieces and putting them together. And I like the literacy aspect of it, because every number in there also has a written word. So if you see the 1 o'clock on the clock, that 1 o'clock in the back of the block, it says the word one or the word two. So it's teaching a lot of literacy, a lot of fraction, a lot of counting and reciting numbers, and of course telling time. It makes it so easy. And I didn't realize how much market needed a toy like this. and I was surprised that this clock toy has been the best seller. In a very good way, it surprised me. I thought the elephant or the tile will be the great find, but apparently there is nothing like this in the market, so parents are searching for it.
Yeah, as far as I know, I am not aware of there being anything like this. Now that, as you said, there are different games with tiles that I have seen and I have used with students, building blocks with letters and numbers, you know, are not numbers, but the letters on them. I've seen, you know, one or two things over the years, but I don't think I've ever seen a clock like this that is so user-friendly and explains so many concepts. And yeah, I mean, I love all that you have in here.
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, and for the price that you have, I feel like this is definitely, I mean, I would have bought this for my classroom in a heartbeat because
thank you.
So durable, you can use it with multiple students over multiple years really not be too worried that it's going to fall apart. You know,
no,
I had clocks. Yeah, I had clocks in my room that were like paper or cardboard, you know, and we would move the hand, you know, the hour and minute hands around. And I basically could only use them a couple of years, you know, or they might be maybe plastic and they would break, you know, easily if a child was upset and threw it or, you know, were these, and I think you even say that in one of your advertisements, it's tougher than your toddler's tantrums. So, you know, it's just the fact that you recognize that this is really necessary to be durable, first of all. And then, this is just amazing.
Thank you.
Like I said, I seen this
like
as a teacher.
Thank you so much. It means a lot to me. These toys are like my children that I gave birth, I created, right? So it feels so good to hear these all like positive feedbacks, especially from another respectful educator like yourself. Thank you. The one joke, I mean, not a joke, but one thing I say about the clock toy, it's going to be that vintage toy because it has all the like, the features to be a vintage toy, and 5 years, 10 years from now, I don't know if you're still going to be using the like regular clock. So, to me, I think this clock toy can go over generations, and can move to generations. It's that durable. It's something that I see in 100 years from now, that people are showing that's what we used to do. We used to teach the toy of the clock.
Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely get on board with that, that is something that these are going to be around for a while because they are. I just think they are so amazing. And I think the prices are very reasonable. There are, there's a company, I think, I don't know if I should mention the name or not, but that they do wooden toy things. Those toys, I bought some of those for my daughter when she was, you know, 3, 5, 7 years old, and she's 20, almost 26 now. And had we not lost pieces, I mean, you know, they would still be very usable. And the ones that we haven't lost pieces, they're still in very good shape. So 20 years, you know, so again, that price, when you think, especially as an educator, when we are buying things, at least for me, I was trying to buy things that were going to last me multiple years because a lot of that money came out of my own pocket. And I know I am not the only teacher around the country. In fact, I would say it's a very small minority of teachers that aren't using their own money to buy things for their classrooms. And even that, I would think, you know, schools would be like, yeah, this is a product that's going to be around a while. We can get behind buying these, you know? So, kudos to you. I mean, everything that you have is very well thought out. You know, I mean, everything from the design to the colors to the materials. What you were born to do. I mean, this stuff is truly, truly amazing.
Thank you for recognizing that. It's been my sole purpose. I always knew I was going to be around children. And I did for so many years. I worked for free with children with cancer, children, homeless kids, children whose parents didn't meet the certain requirements financially. And but I knew even then, it has never been that financial security for me. It has always been, this is what I came to this world to do, and I love doing it. And right now I can say I'm you know, making an abundance living out of it, which is incredible. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I mean, they're truly amazing products. I keep looking over to the side because I still have the website pulled up on my other monitor, even though I've stopped sharing it here for the audience. But yeah, I mean, they're just beautiful.
Thank you, and
so many, the opportunities to teach so many different skills from one toy. And I so appreciated what you said after our technical difficulty regarding, you know, that parents shouldn't feel bad. Had I not been an educator when my daughter was born, I don't know that I would have come up with all the different things to do with her.
And that's 90% of parents.
Right.
And I don't blame them. They're very smart. I work with them. They're very successful. They wanted to do the best for their kids. It's just they don't know how. And I'm surprised that parenting is not part of the high school curriculum or college curriculum. I'm very surprised about that. There's a lot to cover with parenting, I can only imagine how they can feel lost about not knowing what to do. And that's why one of my biggest desires are to educate parents, telling them that what they're dealing with is huge, is not easy, but also showing them the simple ways, and that I do at IntelliKids a lot. If they follow my Instagram on IntelliKids, I give a lot of parenting tips because I work with so many parents and I get questions that I think they're very valid for the majority of the parents. And I answer them on my social media.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah. And so pulled off the wrong one again. any social media. So what are the social media platforms that you're on? So you said Instagram, is that the only one?
I'm on YouTube. I'm on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook. Yes. I'm on a lot of platforms, in TikTok.
Okay.
Too.
Oh, wow. Okay. So yes. Any of the platforms, they just are going to look for, at IntelliKids or at Tome's Toys. And
yes, and they'll see my face and me talking a lot about my experiences. I also share my lessons, my one-on-one lessons with younger children, if I have the permission from the parents.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. And then if you want to get a hold of Aishan, her website, her email is aysen@intellikids.com. And I know I've said Aishan all day, but it is aysen@intellikids.com. And be sure to reach out to her. Be sure, guys, go check out her website. I mean, I'm gushing because I just think what it is beautiful and amazing and will do so many great things for our kids. And the fact that you give advice and tips of what parents can do with your toys or what parents can do, you know, with other things. I have a few of those kinds of videos out on my YouTube channel that I've done because I think I've been blessed with a very creative mind when it comes to using things around the house and, you know, how to help kids with fine motor skills and things. And so I've got a few of those out as well from a while ago. You'll probably see a different hairstyle and different backgrounds, but they're out there. So
I can't wait to go check it out.
Yeah. Check those out, audience. And most definitely follow Aishan on social media. So I think, you know, we have covered a lot today. I know that we've talked about, you know, your passion for this and where the passion came from. What does the future hold for Tome's Toys or IntelliKids? What do you think?
My desire since I was very young is to really make a difference in children's lives, so, and in parents' lives. I'm hoping that IntelliKids will be a platform for parents to get lots of coaching or advice or information from my experiences that I am happily giving out with the parents, and how to deal or how to understand a young mind and be able to adjust or be able to like understand, so this way they don't feel alone, they don't feel lost, the parents. And hopefully that will be a platform, a bigger platform, where there will be coaching and just sharing information on online platforms. With Tome's Toys, the goal is to be obviously in every house in the world and create toys, create experiences or the moments that a parent and a child can sit and have quality time and learn something at the same time. I also believe in purposeless play, just free play, we call. But I also believe big in intentional play. So hopefully Tome's Toys will be a guide for parents to know what is appropriate to teach kids, how they can teach it, but also Tome's Toys to work as a teacher on its own and create fun experiences for children to learn the skills without feeling like they're learning.
Yeah, and it's so important to have that relationship with your preschooler and honestly any age child. And yes. I really think, you know, that if parents will sit down with their child and work with them with your toys, that they are going to build those deep connections, and they're going to help. And I think this is what helped me as a child as well, is that my mom would sit with me. And so I developed a passion and a love for education because of how it made me feel, because I'd been doing it with my mom, and it was a loving environment. It was a safe environment. It was a fun Right. environment. And I think if we can teach our kids that when they're little, and that doesn't take a lot of time every day.
No, I mean, do you you're have talking a, about really 15, 20 minutes a day, that yeah. intentional play.
Yeah,
it can absolutely. Go longer, but it's that 15, 20 minutes a day is really, it will go a long way.
Yeah.
And some people and I mentioning know. How your, I'm sorry, I want to say one thing, how your yeah. mom sat with you and that was, that you created amazing learning opportunities with her. I always say the parents are the first teachers of the children. So mm-hmm. no matter how uneducated they are, no matter how much they don't know about children development, they have something any teacher, any educator cannot have. And that's very powerful, that just leaning on that bond and knowing that they're the first teachers and doing their best to teach their kids will go a long way.
Yes, absolutely. And I think a lot of times, and I might get flack for saying this, but that one of the reasons that homeschooling is so successful
yes.
is because doing the homeschooling and the child. And so the child is relaxed and they are comfortable. And when we're relaxed and when we're comfortable, we're able to absorb and learn better. And yes. that's one of the downsides of having the public schools that we have, with the hard desks and the hard chairs mm-hmm. and multiple people in a classroom, is that you don't always get to have every student be in that yeah. perfect state that their brain yeah. needs to be in. to learn the best. And so I'm not dissing public education at all. We absolutely, we need it, and we need it to do it to, you know, continue our society. But I think that is definitely a benefit for homeschooling, is that connecting mm-hmm. piece, and the child being able to sit. And maybe not all homeschools, you know, some homeschools set it up like an actual type of classroom with a desk and a chair. The ones that I've seen, though, it's okay, we've taught a lesson, and now you can go in the living room, or you can, you know, go to your bedroom and work on your skills, or, you know, it's more comfortable. And even if the environment physically isn't comfortable, it's still with someone that they know loves them
yes.
and wants to be there with them and is enjoying being there with them.
Exactly. I agree with you. Of course, we need those school systems at the schools for a lot of right. parents working who are not available to be with their kids. But if there is a chance, if I'm in homeschooling, from my experiences too, you view like life into education. That's why they are so successful, because the child doesn't see learning as something that you do. You go to this specific classroom and you mm-hmm. sit down, and this is your obligation. You need to like compete and get a grade. So in homeschooling, it's all weaved in. And when you think about it, all the skills can be taught actually in 2 hours, when you don't need to go all through the like all the protocols and systems as school go. And the kids are doing learning time in the morning, and in the afternoon it's still learning, but it's more fields-based learning. Like you said, mm-hmm. they learn how to count by counting the rocks in their garden, instead of like sitting down and like in the classroom on a desk and trying to like learn with other 20 people at the same time in the same method. And one of my biggest philosophy is, especially for early childhood, that one size doesn't fit all. The homeschooling allows children to learn in their own learning method, on their own right. learning way, instead of yeah. trying to fit with other 20 kids in the same room.
Right. And as you said, absolutely. I mean, I'm not dissing public education at all. Yes, we absolutely need same. That. And I want to encourage the parents who want to or have to send their children to the public schools and they're not homeschooling. As Aishan said just a few minutes ago, 15, 20 minutes a day. That's yes. all it takes. And when you have the really little ones, if you can just sit with them and read to them for 15 or 20 yes. minutes, whether that's right before they're going to bed or before dinner or sometime in the evening, that is a huge benefit as well.
It is.
Even if it's the same book for the 777th time, it still helps them
yes.
learn to read and just, you know, learn to focus and get and talk about what you're doing while you're doing things. When you have those little ones around, narrating what you're doing. Oh, okay, I'm getting the hamburger out of the freezer. It's frozen. And now I'm going to put it in the microwave, and I'm going to make the microwave defrost it. I know that seems uncomfortable and weird, but it really does help your child pick up on things and start yes. to understand more things. So yes. just a couple quick tips there here at the end of some things that parents can do. And
I love what you just said. Yes, for the especially language development, what you just said is very important. It's about being intentional. Their children could go to the best schools, could have the best teachers. That mm-hmm. those teachers, those best schools, those that best education still don't have that essence of the mom, essence of
right.
the dad, right? They cannot.
Yep.
That's not natural. So for mom and dad to know this and to be intentional about it, like you said, just setting the table and talking, going through the process, or just reading, any child still needs that support, whether they go to the best school or they don't have very good education. They still need that mom and dad one-on-one time. It's so valuable.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Spending that time with the parents is phenomenal. And I don't think parents give themselves enough credit when it comes to, I didn't do well in school. I'm not going to be able to help my child. Yes, you are.
Yes.
Spending that time with them, interacting with them, doing, the things that I talked about, just narrating, sitting down and playing with your toys with them. There's so many opportunities. Well, Aishan, we do need to wrap up, unfortunately. I much enjoyed this conversation.
For days.
Yeah, definitely. So I just want to make sure really quickly, is there any last words that you want to share with the audience?
Not really, other than just telling parents that parenting is not easy. They should give themselves more credits. Raising a child in this world, in today's world, is really not easy. And a lot of parents struggle for not doing enough. But just like we said, spending intentional time with them, loving them, feeding them, like creating that safe space for them is more than enough. The child doesn't need much more.
Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. Again, I apologize for the technical difficulties earlier. Thank you, Aishan, for being my guest today. And guys, go check out IntelliKids. If you're in the Houston area and you're looking for person-centered and directed tutoring and teaching, and everybody around the world, go to tomestoys.com to get you some amazing items for the children in your life. I am definitely going to be hopping over there after this episode and purchasing maybe all of them. I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm not going to be able to, because I'm so excited about all three of her products. And look for her at conferences. She and I are in a group together where we do conferences all around the country. Make sure if you see her at a teacher conference or a parent conference that you go up and say, hey, I saw you on #NoLimits and I wanted to purchase these products. So thank you for being here. Everybody have a great week. And remember, we know who we are, but not who we will be.
And I want to
hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.